What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football Around the League podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien. Joining me, as always, the CEO of Hedgebetter, Justin Fine, recording remotely in Braintree, Mass. I'm in my medical office in Dedham recording tonight, and we are going around the league to look at really what was an amazing week of NFL football, week 11. A lot of teams, I think, made huge statements this weekend about where they are coming down the stretch. We're going to get through all of it. Justin, how you doing, my man?
I am doing fantastic. Excited to talk some more football. How's everything going with you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. But I cannot say the same, Justin, about the New York Jets, who, I don't know if you heard the news today, fired their general manager this afternoon. Have you heard that?
No, I didn't. Oh,
yes.
Good.
So Joe Douglas is gone. He has a record of something like 30-64 as GM of the Jets, which is trash. So well-deserved firing.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a well-deserved fire. I wonder how many guys are going to have to hit the chopping block before they move on from Aaron Rodgers.
This Jets season is the most Jetsiest Jet season that ever Jets.
Ever. Honestly. Right?
It's literally like if you took the entire history of the New York Jets franchise and you compressed it into one like 3 month period.
Yeah.
This would be the season that symbolizes it all.
This would be 100%. And I just looking at the roster, looking at some of the names they have, some of the weapons, a former Super Bowl winning quarterback, the guys in that defense. I mean, is this one of the most underperforming teams in the last maybe 30 years?
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the Super Bowl winning quarterback is the problem. He is not what he once was. You can see it. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of the game against the Colts Sunday. He looks like an old guy trying to hang on. He looks like, you know, he is not the same player. And he was always the problem. When they fired the head coach, he was the problem. When they brought in the receivers, he was the problem. He is the problem. It doesn't matter who's out there with him. You can't win with Aaron Rodgers right now.
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate too, because you know, it's you talk about some teams that are maybe in a similar situation, you know, in where you go from there, or not even maybe in a similar situation, but you know, you talk about a transition away from an aging quarterback or a quarterback that doesn't have it anymore. These guys don't even really have a backup. They got no plan. They're going to have to totally start from scratch, and I'm assuming they're going to have to draft somebody new.
100%, they're going to have to draft someone new.
Yeah, you're going to have to draft somebody. But the problem is you're bringing them into an aging, dysfunctional roster. Like this team, they got all their guys, or the majority of these guys are on the back nine of their career. They only got a couple guys that seem to be on the right side of that prime. There's the Jets, I think it could all really come collapsing very heavily. I mean, it's already... the walls are already crumbling, but I mean, you talk about just where this organization could go from here. It could get bad.
Let's face it, Justin, that they have absolutely fallen apart since they fired Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
You know, they blame Robert Saleh for that he was the problem. Aaron Rodgers wanted him out. You know, he became the fall guy. But the reality was he was probably the only thing that was holding that shit show together, and it has completely fallen apart since they made Robert Saleh the scapegoat for their mess.
Dude, and I think that's poetic justice, because there's a lot of things wrong with that organization and with that team. Robert Saleh was not, I think, at the top of that list.
Absolutely. And he's now in Green Bay, a team that's probably going to make the playoffs. And he's probably laughing his ass off at just the clown show that franchise has become since he left there.
Yeah. And I think he's going to plug in fantastically in Green Bay.
Is this the end for Aaron Rodgers, Justin? Is he going to retire this year? And should he?
I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to come back for one more year. I do. I think he comes back for one more year.
With the Jets? Do you think the Jets will want him back?
I do because you know, I don't think you invest what you've invested into this organization. I mean, like even just the Davante Adams move, like that tells me you're at least planning on having one more season of the two of them together. Like that's what that tells me.
I know, but this has gone so bad. Yeah. It's just like hard for me to see them bringing Aaron Rodgers back. And I wonder, you know, who would even want him at this point, the way that he has looked this year. Like where does Aaron Rodgers land? If he doesn't stay in New York, who takes a chance on him?
Look, I think you go out, you're going to have a decent draft pick. I think you go out, you draft somebody. There's actually a lot of good quarterbacks or a lot of big names coming up in this quarterback draft class. I think you go out. I think you draft his replacement. I think you hire a bona fide, you know, stud like a Vrabel or somebody to come in and be your head coach. And I think you roll the dice one more year, knowing that you got your heir apparent, you know, getting a year to kind of soak it all in under Aaron Rodgers and learn a little bit in warm up to the
NFL. I just knowing Aaron Rodgers' personality, I think that would be a huge mistake. Like you can't bring in and draft a first round quarterback and have a new coach and a rookie. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers can handle being a bridge quarterback. He's way too toxic.
But I agree. That's easy. I think that was a trickier situation, you know, when they were drafting a Jordan Love 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, right? 4 years ago. Because Aaron Rodgers still presumably had a ton of football left to play. I think now it's pretty apparent that if this isn't the end for him, he's got 1 or 2 years left at most. I think it'd be tough not to be okay with being a bridge quarterback, knowing you have such a finite expiration date on, you know, coming up.
I don't know. I still think he has such an ego. I truly think Rodgers couldn't handle it. If I'm the Jets, I'm just moving on. I'm drafting a quarterback. Are they going to have a top five draft pick? Most likely. I'm taking the best quarterback that I like best, moving on from Rodgers, making a clean break, letting him go somewhere else. And you know what, Justin? There are building blocks on that Jets team. Garrett Wilson, the cornerback there. They got a couple good linemen on both sides of the ball. The building blocks are there. So I think you got to make a clean break with Aaron Rodgers. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Detroit Lions-Jacksonville game on both sides of the ball. Really interesting. First of all, it's Tuesday. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. I'm shocked that Doug Peterson still has a job today after what happened in Detroit on Sunday.
I'm pretty shocked too. You almost wonder if the organization is starting to come around to the fact that maybe this isn't Doug Peterson's fault. Maybe you got just not only a poor roster, but you got one of the biggest losers in the NFL as your quarterback. And I think you're destined for doom. Would it shock you if Doug Peterson came back next year and Trevor Lawrence didn't to this organization?
Yes, it would shock me. I think they signed Trevor Lawrence to a big contract, and I think they're pot committed to Trevor Lawrence, rightly or wrongly. I think Peterson will become the fall guy. I think it's a completely dysfunctional situation. I'm sure the guys in that locker room don't believe in Trevor Lawrence, and I'm sure they know that Trevor Lawrence is a road to nowhere. And that's why they look like a team that has completely quit. As bad as they are and as bad as it's been, what happened on Sunday was like ugly. And that's the kind of thing that generally only happens. Detroit Lions scored the first seven times. They scored seven touchdowns on their first seven possessions. Things like that only happen when a team has given up. And I think the Jaguars have given up because they know that they're on a road to nowhere with Trevor Lawrence.
They are. They are on a road to nowhere.
And we know we didn't play. We know we didn't play this week. But
right. I think it wouldn't have made a difference. I think you're still.
It's just a culture thing. Right. It's a culture thing.
But to your point, then why? Why keep – unless you plan on bringing Doug Peterson back next year and you think that he actually is a good quarterback and that this is just a fluke and, you know, you're going to make some adjustments in the offseason. But I don't know. Whatever it is. Why is he still here if you're not planning on having him here next year?
Exactly. And let's not forget, this is an organization that is clearly not afraid to cut a coach in season because they just did it to Urban Meyer a few years ago.
Yes, exactly.
On the other side of the ball, Justin, Mac Jones right? Two really bad games coming in as a backup.
Yeah.
Yes, tough situation, but it shouldn't be this bad. I'm wondering if Mac Jones' career is over. Is Mac Jones even going to have a place in the NFL next year as a backup quarterback?
Probably not. I mean, who would want him at this point? I mean, Mac Jones is, again, I actually was kind of hoping that he'd go down to Jacksonville and maybe just prove us wrong just a little bit, right? Yep. Like not turn into a successful quarterback, but at least maybe just show that a change of scenery, some weapons, you know, he'd be able to get it figured out a little bit. He's just not a win. He's not a good quarterback. He's not. It's just very apparent. He doesn't have the mental or the physical attributes to be a quarterback in this league.
I was 1,000% rooting for Mac Jones to because first of all, I wanted to just destroy the Trevor Lawrence narrative that the people that still insist on him being this great player. And second of all, I do kind of feel like Mac got a raw deal in New England, but whatever it is, he's a ruined player right now. And he really played exceedingly poor in both of these games. And I think it's going to be hard for him to even be considered a viable backup based on what we've seen from him the last two seasons now.
Totally, totally agree. I can't imagine anybody wanting him.
Justin, kind of ties in with this, but we haven't talked in a few weeks about the Bill Belichick watch. There is a lot of buzz swirling around Belichick going to Jacksonville next year. Is Jacksonville a good fit for Bill Belichick?
No. No, absolutely not? No, because they are that is a roster that is just has so many holes, especially defensively. You talk about a defensive coach, that's a defense that's just totally, totally bare bones. Absolute loser of a quarterback. I just can't see Trevor Lawrence and Bill Belichick meshing. I mean, you talk about somebody who's intense as Bill is. He's a perfectionist. He's stubborn. He's this, he's that. He wants you to care. He wants you to be very diligent. Like, Trevor Lawrence just strikes me as like the exact wrong fit to match Bill with.
I agree 10,000% with what you just said. And I think that the problem is Belichick is so lustful for total control. Yeah. And I don't think there is many organizations that are going to give Bill Belichick total control over what we've seen the last 4 years. So you could not have a worse quarterback coach fit than Trevor Lawrence. Seriously. And Bill Belichick, in my opinion. Like, you talk about like everything that Bill Belichick says he hates or has shown he hates, you know, number one draft pick, non-mentally tough, diva, golden boy quarterback. Right. Belichick literally thrives on deconstructing that narrative. He hates that. He hates everything about that. But the appeal, the lust, the temptation of having total control. And I think Shad Khan would give it to him. And I don't know if I see any other organization giving Belichick total control. Makes me think that Jacksonville may actually be the realistic landing spot if Belichick did choose to come back.
You know, I weigh it out and I understand his want and need for control. And I get that that's part of Bill. But I also, you know, we talked about the Bill Belichick ego. You know, that's anybody who knows football knows that there's an ego associated with Bill. I can't see him risking his reputation on a quarterback like that, on an organization like that, on a team like that. It just seems like there's so much at odds with when you pair that team and that quarterback and that coach together. I can't imagine him thinking that it's worth it just for the sake of having control. I mean, maybe not. Bill Belichick is always going to surprise us, I think, in one way or another. And maybe he does surprise us and do that, but I just can't see it being a good fit.
And don't forget, they just signed Trevor Lawrence and they made a huge commitment to him and guaranteed money. So it's not like Belichick can come in and cut him and be done with him. He's stuck with Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly. And it's like everything is just so counter. Like, you had the greatest quarterback of all time and Brady never got a deal that even sniffed what Trevor Lawrence got.
Right.
So it's like, even just from that standpoint, it's like, I can't see Bill coming in and being satisfied with how things have been set up in that organization. Like, he's so hindered just from even a salary cap management standpoint. Like, there's just so much that I think would clash if you paired them together. I really hope for Bill's sake that he doesn't go there, because I really think it can only hurt him. Now, it would be fantastic if he turned around and took the heir apparent and made Trevor Lawrence live up to his potential and turned the Jacksonville Jaguars organization around. Then that would be fantastic. But the chances of that, to me, are so slim, I just don't think it's worth it.
I don't know. Has Belichick made any public comments in like the Manning cast or anything about Trevor Lawrence? I'm kind of curious, because you don't really know what his real opinion about him is. Maybe he does like the player.
You know,
maybe he likes him.
So I do. I don't remember the exact comment, but I may be wrong, but I believe Bill Belichick made some comments about Trevor Lawrence after the London game against Chicago. We'd have to go back and look that up. But
yeah, that's probably a good homework assignment, because yeah. I think Belichick's feeling and opinion about Lawrence is like key to whether he would ever consider that job, because you're stuck with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, absolutely.
One place people have talked about Justin as a potential landing spot for Belichick is Philadelphia. I think we can close the book on the Eagles. Look, Sirianni is a goon at times, but they're 8-2. They came off a huge win against a hot Commanders team on Thursday night. They're arguably the second best team in the NFC. Sirianni's not, I don't think, going anywhere unless something crazy happens in the last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's unfortunate, because I'm still not a big Sirianni fan. I mean, if they go out and like get bounced in the first round of the playoffs or something, I mean, I still think there's an opportunity for Sirianni to get replaced. But yeah, if it looks like they've somewhat figured it out. If they're able to close the season out strong, make a run at it, he probably comes back next year. Can I give you a team that no one is talking about? And I'm not saying that I think it's likely, but I would just love to see this.
Yeah,
the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, not a bad fit.
You got a guy like Zach Taylor, who I think a lot of people are starting to realize, maybe at the end of his leash in Cincinnati. You got Joe Burrow, you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got a couple of good players on that defense. I don't know, man. I would love to see what Bill Belichick could do in Cincinnati.
I mean, everything you say about Trevor Lawrence and Belichick just clashing.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't you see like Burrow and Belichick
loving
just
each
to
other
fit,
oh.
Right? That's like a good fit, yes. Personality-wise.
Exactly. I think it would be a great opportunity for him. And it would be nice. He'd get to go to a nice tough AFC division. He'd get to battle it out with Harbaugh and Tomlin and those guys. I think it would be great for the league.
I think he'd have the quarterback, which would be the biggest step. And you know, and I think that would be probably a better landing spot than a lot of places we've thought of. I mean, I don't think that Bengals team is making the playoffs, Justin. You've been holding out that the Bengals are going to make the playoffs. Have you given up hope yet?
I'm starting to accept the reality that we're probably not going to see them. I know mathematically I think they have a chance. I mean, you know, you can still wind up 10-7, 9-8, and maybe have a shot. But they'd pretty much need to have a perfect season from here on out. I'm not holding my breath. And you know what? I think they're going to be one of the most talented teams to miss the playoffs in a while.
Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of like a hard luck loser this year, right? Yeah. Because they really shouldn't be 4-7.
No.
They've lost a ton of close games, even on Sunday night against the Chargers. You know, obviously they lost a close game to the Patriots.
Yeah.
There have been a couple other ones like that. I believe they lost a tough one to the Chiefs earlier this year. But they're kind of a hard luck loser. They're in 10th place right now in the AFC, and they got – I mean, let's face it. Denver made a statement on Sunday that was a big win for the Denver Broncos.
Huge win.
Seems like things are coming together for that Denver team. They are now 2 full games ahead of the Bengals for that last playoff spot.
Yeah. And you know what? It just seems like Bo Nix is getting better. Sean Payton's got that team where he wants them. They're developing. I can't see the Broncos having a late season slip. I can't.
I agree with that, because that defense is really good.
They are.
That Denver defense does not get talked about at all.
Nope.
I believe right now they're third in the league in points allowed against.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, somebody who's got him for fantasy, that's an every week start. That's a team that's been going out there and doing their thing. I mean, you know, you got Pat Surtain, a couple other big playmakers. I mean, that's a very sneaky organization. And let's not forget, that's a team that, in all senses of the word, they should have beat the Chiefs last week. That was a win. They blew
100%.
So
you know, and they got them in Denver coming up again in a few weeks.
Exactly. But all that's to say that if this team can go into Arrowhead and play well enough to win a game, there's no reason why Denver can't really beat anybody on any given Sunday.
Agreed. And you look at like what Bo Nix is, and I don't think he's quite on Drake May or Jaden Daniels level. Agreed. In terms of talent or as a player, but I mean, they put him into a program, and I think the Patriots, there's a lesson for the Patriots as there is for any team drafting a young quarterback, in what the Denver Broncos did with Bo Nix. You know, they got Cortland Sutton. They put one of the best defenses. They got a couple good backs. They got a good line. They draft Troy Franklin, his security blanket in college, who scored a touchdown this week.
Yep.
And they surrounded him with like a favorable environment. And now, you know, it was kind of choppy with Bo Nix early in the season. They were winning games almost in spite of him. You know, he was making a lot of plays with his legs. He threw for four touchdowns against a decent Atlanta team on Sunday. Now he's looking like he actually is an NFL quarterback. I think there's a statement in there about the kind of situation that you want to put a young quarterback in.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and Bo Nix has literally, I think, gotten better each week. So, you know, it just goes to show you that there are some quarterbacks that you just need to get them out there and let them develop. And we're seeing a perfect example of that in Denver.
And who better than Sean Payton, Justin?
Right.
Right. Payton knows how to develop a quarterback. Sean Payton knows what he's doing. There's no Sean Payton in New England, not to bring it back, because this is the Around the League podcast, but not to bring it back to New England. But right. I mean, you can't help but notice that difference. Justin, we nailed the San Francisco 49ers this year. You more than me, I think. But, you know, we both kind of predicted they'd take a step back. Losing to a Seattle team at home this weekend puts them, I think, to 5-5.
Yep.
I still don't think that team is totally, totally dead yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do sneak into the playoffs.
Agreed.
Because, you know, they're the 49ers, but I think we can safely say they're really not a contender right now.
No. I think this is the most, you know, the most vulnerable they've been in the last arguably 4 years. I think they'll probably sneak into the playoffs in like a 6 or 7 seed, but that's just because I think the fact that there's not a ton of teams in the NFC that are going to be able to compete for those last couple spots. So I think they will get in there, but I think it's going to be an early exit for them. I think it's just been a really tough season overall for them. They've struggled with health. They've struggled with consistency. I think it's just you're starting to see a little bit of unraveling in San Francisco.
And Brock Purdy doesn't quite look like the player he has been the last couple of years. And maybe that has a lot to do with the team around him and Ayuk being out for the year. You know, Parasol wasn't available. McCaffrey's been hurt. But clearly it's affected Purdy.
Yeah. It has. This Brock Purdy has not looked great this season. For sure.
And he's up for a contract this year. Let's not forget that. So that's going to be a really tough decision.
Did he not get a big contract?
Did they just resign him? I'm sorry. You're right. They did. They signed him this year. You're right.
Yes. So he'll be there. But, I mean, you wonder how much of that team will still be around him. And, you know, you look at this year, without a lot of his stars, things have started to fall apart.
No, Justin, he did not sign. Everyone else signed. He did not sign.
He didn't sign.
No. So he is still on his rookie contract.
Wow. Okay. I thought he signed.
He's the next man up.
Wow. All right. So,
Trevor, Tua, and Dak Prescott all signed.
Yeah.
Purdy is the next man up. And it will be probably big money for him if they choose to keep him.
Yeah, well, you know what? They already got big money players on that roster. I mean, I think they just signed Ayuk to a big deal. I know McCaffrey's in a good deal. I mean, I think what's his name? That lineman there, Trent Williams, Kittle, Samuel. Like they got some top heavy contracts. So You know, something's going to have to give if they're going to re-sign Brock Purdy. He's going to lose.
You're
going to
pay
talent.
Brock Purdy $40 million when, for the first time in his career, he has not been surrounded by exceptional talent. And it hasn't been terrible. You know, he has decent talent around him. It's just not been exceptional, and he's been mediocre. So he's not elevating, I think, anyone, most likely. Are you going to pay this guy $40 million? Are you going to guarantee $250 million to Brock Purdy and then watch Christian McCaffrey get old and watch Deebo Samuel get old and watch George Kittle get old? And what do you have left? A seventh-round quarterback that's throwing for 20 touchdowns and 14 picks a year, and you're 7-9, or 7-10 every year.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. The problem is the way this NFL quarterback environment has gotten. If you don't, somebody will. Like it just seems like there's always a team out there that's willing to overpay for an average quarterback. In organizations now have to compensate for the fact that a lot of these guys are not going to stay on team-friendly deals, because they know they're going to be able to go out and get a bag somewhere. Like we've seen a lot of quarterbacks who have signed contracts that we've questioned whether they've actually had the body of work to justify that next contract. So it's the snake eating its head right now, because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't with Brock Purdy.
That's exactly right. I feel like, and maybe I will eat these words, and I've always liked Purdy. I've said on this podcast multiple times, I think he's better than people give him credit for. The way he's played this year has given me a little bit of pause for that.
Right.
I think it's trending towards maybe not signing him. And I guess we'll see how the season ends for them. But I mean, they're going to have a really tough decision either way. Like, you're going to let this guy walk? He has been really good at times.
Yeah, he has. He has been. But again, if you know what, you know that you're not going to be able to put the talent around him to keep that going. I don't know. It's going to be tough. They got a tough decision to make for sure. And I'm sure he's going to want to get paid. But that's one thing I will say is, if they had gotten out in front of the situation, they probably could have got him on a little bit more of a discount and a team friendly deal. He's going to want to get paid now, seeing what some of these other guys are getting.
Agreed. Justin, what are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers beating Baltimore? Slugfest, classic NFC North slugfest. Steelers are now 8-2.
Yeah.
Is it time to give them some respect? They got a bunch of turnovers. They shut down an offense in Baltimore that no one had been able to shut down all year. Russell Wilson is doing it. I mean, do we have to start taking Pittsburgh seriously at this point?
As long as Pittsburgh stays healthy on defense, I think we have to. Because that defense, I don't want to take anything away from Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson has been pretty good. That offense, I think, is definitely rounding into form and surprising a lot of people. You know, George Pickens taking big leaps. You know, Najee Harris playing well. So I don't want to take anything away from that offense, you know. But that defense is just next level. And I think that team is built around that defense for sure. So if they can stay healthy, yes, you have to take them seriously.
I don't mind rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers a little bit. Right? I find myself either. Rooting for them. And, you know, like, I've always been a Steelers hater because I'm a Patriots fan. But I got to say, like, I kind of like the idea of a team winning on defense. And I love Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches of this generation.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And we should not understate that. When we look at this team and we, you know, we talk about Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, and they're flashy and they have best quarterback, top quarterbacks in the league. Mike Tomlin is a coach that it should be mentioned right up there with Andy Reid, right up there with Belichick, right up there with all these guys that are at the avant-garde, the top of their game, because, and he will put that team in a position to win games.
He's definitely going to put them in a position to win game. I mean, he has been. I mean, look, the fact that the guy has never had a below 500 season, and they've had some real struggles in terms of like their quarterback, the talent, like you can't say enough about Mike Tomlin. He's been one of my favorite coaches in the NFL for a while. I'll easily put him in my top three or top five, definitely top five, potentially top three active head coaches right now. In this Steelers team, again, just the way they're constructed, they're not flashy. They're not anything that blows you away, which I think is why they're able to fly under the radar so well. They're just not making stupid mistakes on offense, and they have a lights out Super Bowl caliber defense. And we're seeing that that's good enough right now.
When you see the way that they're able to win games with Russell Wilson, it really makes you wonder what the heck happened in Denver.
I agreed.
Year?
Yes.
Because Denver Wilson's numbers were not bad last year. He did like 26 touchdowns and like six interceptions or something like that, but they couldn't win. They lost. And it's like, why couldn't they win in Denver? And he comes to Pittsburgh, he comes to Mike Tomlin's program, and they're winning games.
Yeah.
Tomlin, Justin, right now is, I think, on his way to being coach of the year in the NFL this year.
As he probably should be, realistically. He should be. And let's not forget, too, the decision. I know there was kind of the weird injury that forced them to switch to Justin Fields at the beginning of the year. But, like, Justin Fields wasn't playing awful. This team was winning games. And they still had the wherewithal to pull the trigger and say, oh, Russell's back. Russell's starting. And that even turned out to be the right move for them. So they've made all of the right decisions, it seems like, and they're just finding ways to win football games. The old fashioned.
When you talk about them getting the best out of Russell Wilson, you bring up a great point. They got the best out of Justin Fields, who was another guy that couldn't win in Chicago.
Right.
And he comes to Pittsburgh and he's 3-1. So at some point you have to look at Mike Tomlin and just say his coaching brilliance is at least somewhat responsible for the way he's always – this is a guy that made the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky and never been below 500. He hasn't had a good quarterback in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, you, what in to go back to Russell Wilson and this Steelers team, you know, and just kind of tie everything we've been saying in this episode together, I think one of the most underrated and – low-key iconic plays of this NFL season was the Russell Wilson deep ball to Mike Williams, because it just represented so much in that one throw, right? You got Mike Williams, who was basically kicked out of the New York Jets after having a couple big drops by Aaron Rodgers. He was let go by the Chargers for supposedly not having enough left in the tank. He gets to Pittsburgh and pairs for a big go-ahead touchdown on the other end of a Russell Wilson deep ball that has also been written off, also been bounced around the league, also been laughed at. It's just like this team is finding ways to reclaim guys' careers and get every last drop out of everybody who puts on the black and yellow.
Agreed. And all the credit really should go to the head coach for that, because you know what, Justin, it's not just been this season. This has been consistent since he took over in Pittsburgh. This has been, he's been in Pittsburgh for what? Almost 20 years now. It's like, this is 17th, 18th year.
Yeah.
Right. This guy is, he is really right up there with Belichick and Reed and all the coaching greats of this generation.
Yeah.
Who's more likely, Justin, to make a Super Bowl, since we're talking Pittsburgh? 2-8-2 teams no one respects or talks about. Yeah. Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers. Who's more likely to make it out into the Super Bowl?
I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just because I think – I just think in the NFC, I really do think – I know it's tough to say this, but I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that unless something goes – terribly wrong, you can pencil the Detroit Lions into the Super Bowl. Like, that's just how I feel personally right now. And I think that if it's not going to be Detroit, I think it's going to be the Eagles. The Vikings, I'll put them third on that list. I just can't see the Vikings getting through the Eagles or the Lions in the playoffs. The Steelers, however, I think the AFC is a little bit more wide open. I think the Bills have proven to be vulnerable in the playoffs. I think you know, even though the Chiefs are undefeated, I think this is arguably the most vulnerable they've been in the last 2-3 years. I don't know. I gun to my head, I say that Steelers got a better chance.
I disagree.
Okay.
I believe it's the Lions, and I mean the Vikings. And okay. I'm going to tell you why. All right. Because they can match up with the Lions and beat them. And as much as we're talking about the greatness of Tomlin, which I stand by that take 100%, I still think it's going to be hard for me to see Russell Wilson beating Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes and another team to make it to a Super Bowl. I think the Vikings can beat the Lions, even in Detroit, because of the division thing. And if that happens, the NFC is so wide open, you know, it could be a much easier path, is I guess my point. And that's why I would go Vikings. But I will say the Vikings are doing it mostly with defense now. And Sam Darnold's stagecoach has a little bit turned into a pumpkin the last few weeks because he hasn't been playing well.
Yo, he's cooled off. And look, it might be kind of crazy to say, and I'd have to fact check this, but if the Rams, who, I mean, they're only, I believe, 500 right now, they're 5-5. If the Rams don't make the playoffs, Russell Wilson will be the only other Super Bowl winning quarterback in the postseason besides yep. Patrick Mahomes, right? Yep. So like that, yep. I think that also puts into perspective where we're at as like a league. Right now.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Because it's like a huge transition time. There's no question about it. And like the league has been dominated by Brady and Mahomes for so long. So yep. Brady's gone and other quarterbacks that have won are really sparse. They're few and far between, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll bring up one more thing. Then we're going to wrap it up. Two more things. Okay. Quick.
Yeah.
Number one, Josh Allen. He entered the MVP race this week. Like he is showing that he is the real deal. Now, you've been skeptical this year of him. Did Josh Allen make a believer of you with the win they had on Sunday against the Chiefs?
If I can be totally honest, nothing that the Bills do in the regular season is going to move the needle one iota for me, because I've seen this song and dance before. I've seen the Bills dominate the regular season. I've seen the Bills beat the Chiefs and the Ravens and win these big games in the regular season. I need to see it in the playoffs. I'm sorry. I'll accept that they have just as good a shot as anybody else, not the Chiefs in the AFC to emerge, but I'm going to need to see it. I can't take anything they do in the regular season and extrapolate that.
I like that take, Justin, and I think that's totally fair game because Buffalo has fooled us so many times before. But I would also say, with a caveat to what you said, Josh Allen is the MVP, and I think the Bills have as good a chance as anyone in this league of not only making it to the Super Bowl but winning. And I think there's a clear top tier in this league, and it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo, and it's Detroit in the NFC. And I think those are the three best teams. And I really think that Buffalo could beat either of those other two teams on any given Sunday, partially because Josh Allen is just so amazing. Yeah. And partially because their defense is really good. But I think Buffalo is right up there with everyone else.
Yeah. And I agree. From a talent standpoint, I think Buffalo's right up there. I expect them to finish, as like the number two or number three seed. And I expect them to hopefully be right there in the AFC championship game. But again, I'm just going to need to see it. It's not that I'm saying it won't happen. I'm not calling the Bills demise or anything like that. I'm just saying I'm going to need to see it to believe it.
And that's what's crazy about the NFL and why we all love it so much, because it's a one game playoff. So it really comes down to who performs in those one game situation where the pressure is high.
Yes.
And anything can happen. I mean, in all fairness, I feel like the Bills should have won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, the year Kansas City beat them.
I agree.
That crazy 30-second drive from Mahomes. That was incredibly bad. Okay, great for Mahomes and the Chief, but it was also incredibly bad luck in some sense. But that was their year. And you're right. Until they actually do it in the postseason, you have to have a little bit of skepticism. And they have a ton of pressure on them. They're gonna have a lot of pressure when it comes to January.
Yeah. Everyone talks about, the Chiefs are undefeated right now. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. This and that. I think inarguably the two teams with the most pressure in the AFC entering the postseason are going to be Buffalo and Baltimore. I think if you're those two teams, you're entering January with the weight of the world, on your backs.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not even, I mean, it's funny. I'm not even taking Baltimore serious right now because they've lost four games. And after that loss this week, but
yeah.
I mean, come on, you're telling me Lamar Jackson couldn't get hot in the playoffs. Sure. I know he's not done well historically in the playoffs and win a few games and surprise us. So you're right. I mean, 100%. All right, man. Anything else around the league? We're going to wrap it up.
Anything else around the league? No, I think I think that about does it. Yeah.
Your boy Anthony Richardson beat the Jets.
Well, you know what? If it wasn't the Jets, I'd be a little bit more impressed. But it just seems like the Jets are finding ways to lose games now.
Totally. But don't you think they should just roll with him, right? Just roll with him. He's only played eight games. Let the guy freaking play.
You have to roll with him. I love having Joe Flacco there as a backup, but I just don't I don't understand why you would start Joe Flacco if Anthony Richardson's available. It doesn't make any sense. Got to develop the guy.
Exactly. You guys barely played football. Let's see what you got, Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's
– All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Anthony Richardson's on year two. He missed almost all of year one. Even prior to coming into the league, he has virtually no experience. You drafted him, what was it, four overall with super high draft capital. Let the guy play. Let him develop.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more. I don't think Joe Flacco should see the field again.
Yes.
All right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up. We want to thank everyone that listened to this edition of the Around the League Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy another exciting week of NFL football, and we will catch you next week with another new episode. Take care, everyone.